When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So I know you've got a lot going on, but remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening, because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better, because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7.
Welcome to Gospel Tangents, the best source for Mormon history, science, and theology, and first daily Mormon history podcast. I'm Rick Bennett. What is it like to visit over 100 churches? David Boyce is the host of 52 Churches in 52 Weeks, and by the way, he's got a book by the same name that you should get on Amazon. But anyway, I asked him what are some of the takeaways he's had from visiting all these churches and seeing all the variety. So you won't want to miss this conversation. Check it out. Any other takeaways? Has your spirituality increased, decreased, going to these 100-plus churches?
I'll say, like, when I did it the first time, I compared it to Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Like, I felt like my faith was on fire when I was doing it. And one of the tricky things that happened when I stopped doing it the first time was then I started to kind of go, like, I was so high with all the novelty of it, that when I stopped, then like things kind of went down.
Right.
And I think one of the big takeaways I took away from that is the importance of church community. Because like I'm seeing all these different churches I'm observing, but I'm not really getting the full church community. And so with this current 52 and 52, like that was one thing I was looking more for was, okay, let me plug into a church afterwards. Let me get that church community and get a better sense of that. And that's a lot more difficult than I thought, especially from my faith background. So,
Especially from the LDS, we're always like, are you going to join? Do you have any affinity towards any of these? Baptist, Pentecostal, Episcopal, anything like that? Catholic?
So it's interesting after doing this now, because like before, like I kind of turned myself as interdenominational. So with all these different denominations, like I want to be as open and welcoming as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Now, after completing this, like I feel like this, kind of like this blender of appreciation for all these different type of churches, for those that I found a lot of appreciation with. So now I'm like, what am I? Am I like 80%, like am I 70% Protestant, 20% Latter-day Saint, 10% Catholic, you know, maybe like 1% Seventh-day Adventist? I don't know. You know, it's this.
You didn't say Lutheran in there. I thought that would be in there.
Well, I guess with a Protestant, I'm just kind of grouping in all the Protestant denominations. But it's interesting after completing that because, yeah, it's like I see something really, really good, like from LDS, from a family aspect. But then I look at also at maybe a different church over here with like Roman Catholics, and I just see the appreciation that they have for all these senses and how that impacts spirituality. Then, you know, I see just all these different types of Protestant views with the Pentecostals and the snake handling. And I'm not saying I'm going to turn snake handling or hold a snake anytime ever. Ever. Yeah. So
you're like Indiana Jones.
Yeah. But you see different things. And then you also empathize with some of the struggles that some of these churches are going through as well. And I feel like with my channel, especially those that may be going through a faith crisis, I at least hope that it helps people just to see what else is out there. Because yeah, it's easy for me as a first time visitor, of course, as a newcomer, you know, it's going to be a positive experience for the most part, because you're not seeing the warts, you're not seeing the bad, you're seeing everything good. But Yeah. I don't know where I was finishing with that thought, but you become a little bit of everything, I feel, when you see so much.
So are you going to continue with a third 52 weeks, or are you just going to your Lutheran church, or what are you doing now?
That's a big question. So with a third one, I'm playing around with different ideas. So because it is expensive, it takes up a lot of time, I basically have to throw away my personal life. Like, I can't watch football on the weekends with all the traveling.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to live. And with the amount of effort that goes into it, like if I did it a third time, I'd have to be a little bit more nuanced about it. I've played around with different ideas. So I'll share it with you.
Okay.
Okay.
Is this breaking news?
Maybe breaking news, but this is just me brainstorming if I did a third 52 churches in 52 mm-hmm. weeks. So one idea is just kind of like I've always done it, just go to a different denomination each week. Another idea I've had is to do a 52 churches in 52 weeks. That would be specifically all Book of Mormon believing churches.
Oh.
Where it would kind of start off with the Four Corners churches, Palmyra area, and just kind of follow the trek of the pioneers.
Now, wait a minute. The Four Corners, you're talking, because there's a Presbyterian church, Baptist, Methodist. I can't remember what the other one is.
I don't know what those are. Yeah. But I've seen.
So you'd go to those first and then go into the Book of Mormon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So just kind of see and just kind of go through the pioneer.
So a restoration, 52 restoration churches.
And just see different restoration churches as well that kind of broke off after the succession.
I want to tag along, but this is a lot of work. I know it is.
Yeah. So it'd be a ton of work. I don't live in the area to really make it work,
mm-hmm.
but that has been an idea I've had. Another one would be like a 52 churches in 52 weeks that kind of would look into the different presidents of the United States. So right now we're at 46 with President Biden.
Right.
But that could be something where I would have to do, like with church one would be any church that was affiliated with George Washington. Or like church 16 with Abraham Lincoln, what church is he most associated with? So I try and find some type of link to the different presidents. And then a fourth idea.
Richard Nixon was a Quaker. Have you been to a Quaker church yet?
I've been to two of them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So very interesting because it's very, very quiet.
Yeah.
So I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Hmm.
So. But obviously, we've only had 46 presidents. So if I would complete the 52 churches, it would probably be another 20, 30 years where I could complete it. And, you know, if by that time the country hasn't, you know, blown up, you know.
Maybe.
Right. So, and then the last one was to do like a 52 churches in 52 weeks centered on all churches that MLK spoke at.
Oh.
So I don't know. Like I've done no research on this to even know what churches he would have attended, but I have to research just to figure out, here's what happened. Here's this church.
You've got so Atlanta and Memphis for sure, right?
Yep. Memphis would have to be up there.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are a couple ideas I've played around if I would do a third one.
Wow.
So.
Well, very good. What else are we missing? Oh,
yeah.
Temples, you could do 52 temples in 52 weeks.
that'd be, yeah. Well, I'm in Wisconsin. Like, Wisconsin doesn't have a temple anyway, so that would
be. Are you sure?
That'd be very difficult.
I think there's going to be one in Madison, if I'm not. I'm surprised.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I have not heard.
Yeah. So, have you been to every state?
No.
You've missed Alaska and Hawaii.
Yeah.
But any others? You've been to a lot of states.
I've been to several, yeah.
Do you have any idea how many in the 30s?
I'd say probably close to 30. Yeah. I don't think maybe like between 25 to 29, but
okay.
It's close.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's got to be one in Milwaukee. We could look that up. We'll look that up later.
Yeah.
What are your overall thoughts about restoration churches? It sounds like you like them.
Yeah.
Are they your favorite branch?
I wouldn't say favorite, but I've gained so much appreciation for restoration churches because that was one of the things that I found most interesting was just the people. So whether it was my very first LDS ward visit or if it was a Strangite church, or if it was the Church of Jesus Christ, Book of Mormon rally, meeting members with Community of Christ, especially with JWHA, and mm-hmm. those that I've engaged in different talks just outside of the channel. It's the level of just the kindness, the genuine appreciation from members that I've gained a lot of respect for. And I hope with my videos, like it had a huge influence on my videos, because I could be very judgmental and critical in the early days, but it fine-tuned me. So in a weird kind of way, like the Restoration Churches kind of changed my channel to make it much more engaging, much more thoughtful, much more understanding of what other people believe, even though it may be different beliefs. It's that acceptance. And that's where I really found much, much appreciation with any type of Latter-day Saint, whether it was LDS, whether it was Strangite, whether it was Community of Christ. That's what I really found to appreciate.
Well, that's cool. You know, I think this applies not just to the LDS community, but Community of Christ and these other restoration groups. You know, and I don't know how much knowledge you have of our history. We have a very persecuted history.
Oh, yeah.
So the fact that a Protestant is nice to us, we're like, I like this guy.
Yeah.
We're seeking validation so much. Have you had a lot of pushback from Protestants or evangelicals saying, why do you care about that Book of Mormon church? Like they're not Christians.
Yeah. Like typically in the comments, like you have those persecution type of statements. The frustrating thing sometimes that I'll see is it's just the blanket cliche insults like, it's a cult.
Yeah.
Run away, all that kind of stuff. But there's no nuance. There's no thought behind it. Sometimes you may have other critics where they'll just, throw out their ammunition of Bible passages and just, God has spoken. Now I'm going to leave the room and leave the comments. Like I see that happen as well. And I think, especially learning Latter-day Saint history, especially with the pioneers and the persecution and everything that happened with Joseph Smith and everything with Nauvoo and the healings and all that, you start to see just how negative that persecution can happen. And I think one of the things I notice is just the resolve, especially seeing it now, 200 years later, since the movement first started, is just the people do not lower themselves, like Latter-day Saints do not lower themselves to the same type of insults. Because it was interesting at General Conference when I visited that.
That was one of your big ones, yeah.
Yeah, we haven't even brought that up. Because with General Conference, like I saw all these street preachers. So on Saturday, I walked in as a Latter-day Saint. On Sunday, I was walking around in my street clothes just to kind of see what was happening. And with the street preachers, it was just the insults of people walking in. And the first day, especially walking with Latter-day Saints, they're getting insulted at. They're getting told all these terrible things about their faith and who they are. And no one muttered anything where it's like, anything mean. And I think that was a big takeaway for me. And to see just that persecution still exists today.
Mm-hmm.
Like as a Protestant, we can do so, so much better, you know? So, like, how do you treat your neighbor? Golden rule, how do you treat others? And if, in that General Conference video, we were talking about this at JWHA,
mm-hmm.
is like in the Bible with Jesus Christ, he's about to be taken away from his persecutors, from his enemies. Simon Peter takes out his knife, takes out his sword, and in defense, he cuts off the ear of the servant's ear. And it's like, how are you supposed to preach? How are you supposed to talk about the good news if you're cutting off other people's ear? Because we do that with our tongues. Our tongues can be those weapons.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with General Conference, that really kind of showed me and just, again, gained new appreciation, because from what I've seen with all these different restoration branches, what I saw at General Conference, like, that I didn't see that. I didn't see that retaliation when, from my background, oh yeah, there'd be some retaliation. So it just makes me just ponder more.
Very good. What else do you have? Any other thoughts you have on your channel and
oh boy,
how it's changed you?
Well, nothing really too much. I guess if I always like any type of requests. So if there are any type of church visits that I could do in the future, I kind of already kind of spilled the beans on different brainstorm ideas I have. So if you do have, obviously with Gospel Tangents, I'm sure we're going to have to put much more of a restoration audience. I'm sure that's going to be the number one request, but if you have any other ideas, I'd love to hear it.
Have you considered non-Christian churches? I mean, we talked a little bit about synagogue and Baha'i, and have you visited Islam yet?
No. So I am curious, as I'm not doing a third 52 and 52 right now, I may do a couple visits that aren't technically
off
Christian.
Camera.
Yeah, that aren't Christian churches, and just kind of explore, here's what happens at a different faith type of service. With everything going on in Israel and Palestine, it's a little tricky of a time to do that now.
Yeah.
But I'll have to see what else is out there and maybe consider it.
Because, you know, there's Hindu, Sikh, there's so many other ones, Japanese, all sorts of religions, Confucius, all that.
Yeah. So it would be an entirely different exploration, that's for sure.
Well, David Boyce from 52 Churches in 52 Weeks, I think I've asked you 52 questions or so.
Close. I hope someone was counting.
Well, thank you so much for being here on Gospel Tangents. I'm excited to go to St. George with you tomorrow. Perfect. And we're going to check out the St. George Temple. So if you haven't checked out his channel, 52 Churches in 52 Weeks, and hopefully I can ride your coattails up the view list at YouTube.
Yeah. Fingers crossed, right?
All right. Thanks, Dick. Thanks again, David, for being here on Gospel Tangents.
All right. Thanks, Rick.
Mm-hmm. I hope you enjoyed our conversation with David Boyce from 52 Churches in 52 Weeks. David, don't make yourself a stranger. I know you've come out here a few times to Utah, and so we'll hopefully hang out a lot more. So thanks again. In our next conversation, I'm excited to have Sarah Patterson on the show. She's got a new book out on the September 6th.
The September 6th and the struggle for the soul of Mormonism.
Okay.
I would say a couple of things. Perhaps most recently, I was asked to be part of a conference maybe 2 years ago now. That Ben Park helped put together that was honoring the life and contributions of Mike Quinn.
Oh, was here at University of Utah, right?
Yes, it was.
I was at that conference.
Okay. Well, I gave a paper there. And studying more about Quinn, who is somebody that I met in graduate school because he was a friend of one of my professors, just really drew me into this time period in new ways. And so when Barbara Jones Brown at Signature talked to me about doing a book more broadly about the September 6th, I was really excited for that opportunity.
If you'd like to hear the entire interview uncut, subscribe on either Patreon or at gospeltangents.com. For just $5 a month, you can hear the entire audio uninterrupted. On our $10 tier, if you would like to see the whole video, you can see that either on youtube.com/gospeltangents, or I've got a special Facebook group devoted for full videos. So subscribe at gospeltangents.com and sign up for just $10 a month. For $20 a month, if you'd like to get some bonus content, maybe some of the stuff that ended up on the cutting room floor, you can sign up for that. And then if you'd like to talk to me for $100 a month, we'll do a monthly phone call on something like Zoom, and you can ask me anything you want. So thanks again. Also, don't forget about the merch, mugs, t-shirts, hats, things like that. I'm trying to get the ties up there. Hopefully I can get up there. And thanks again for watching Gospel Tangents. And click here for some more videos.
Hey, Drew Scott here, and I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
So I know you've got a lot going on. But remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening, because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better, because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7.